Engagement in action.
The moment you step into other people's space, you immediately create an expectation.
Discovering the relationships between Rhodes University and the communities that surround it.
We're people, we're connected, we're doing life, and doing life means encountering challenges and responding to them.
This time, the Environmental Learning Research Centre and the Amanzi for Food Project.
My name is Tichawona Pesanai. I'm a PhD scholar here at the Environmental Learning Research Centre, and I'm a lead researcher in the Amanzi for Food Project. And my area of interest is how people learn together about improving their water for food.
My name is Lwazi Mandilive Matiwane. I'm a student here and a research assistant. And my area of interest is youth development, youth leadership, agriculture, which is a core part of the work that we're doing.
And I'm Hayla Sasitka. I'm here in the Environmental Learning Research Center, where I work as a professor. And I am working on a number of research projects and programs, one of which is the Amanzi for Food. Amanzi, which is water, so it's water for food. And we decided on that name because it really captures the essence of what we're focusing on.
Water, please!
Okay.
So the Amanzi for Food Project is a project designed for ensuring that people actually access the Water Research Commission materials that have been designed for us to know how to collect and harvest rainwater.
The problem that we were trying to respond to at the time when the project started was that there is a lot of knowledge about water for food available in the national scientific system, in universities, but also in the Water Research Commission. And there was this irony that millions of rand were being spent on producing knowledge of how to use water for food amongst smallholder farmers and communities, especially women farmers. But the problem is that all of this knowledge is being produced and it's sitting in the research institutions. And even we found that the Water Research Commission were, you know, producing the books and sending them to the agricultural colleges so that it could be transferred into the teaching system. But Teach and I found all these books in the colleges not being used. So we thought, okay, if this is the case, that there's all this knowledge available, then what is the problem? Why is it that people are not using this very useful information in a time of drought in the country where, you know, there's a lot of stress around people being able to grow food and so on?
So we did interviews with farmers, lecturers, local economic development workers, and even community radio people. As we were interviewing them, we got information around how they were working with water. We also found out that they were struggling with water for food because the rainfall that they depend on, it's no longer coming at the time they expected. What we call seasons is a word that might disappear from the dictionary because climate change is really challenging the timing of rainfall, the quantity of rainfall, and so forth. So we also had focus group discussions with these people, and it is in those meetings that they decided to form a learning network. It was not difficult for them to form a learning network because apparently they realized that this could be an opportunity for them to start addressing their water problems. So I think the approach that we took, that of dialogue and conversation, helped people to quickly see the opportunities. So we didn't have to try to persuade them to form a learning network, but they themselves saw it as something essential for them to be able to achieve their aspirations.
So the two core ways in which we do that in the project is through learning networks and through the Training of Trainers course. So the two core parts of the course are the discussions and activities and learning that happens in the more sort of formal space that is a room with desks and stuff, but also demonstration sets. So with every course, we ensure that there's a demonstration activity where we can actually see how to harvest and collect rainwater.
So we're going to install the two trench beds, and we're also going to install a drip irrigation system. But we're going to start off here just to update you some of
So this is a Rhodes accredited course, and it's a short course approach, and it's connected to what we call a change project. So there's what you learn in the theory and the practicals that Livia talked about, and then at the end of the day there must be something that you say, I have changed this. And nobody tells you what to change. You, through the interactions and the assignments pathway, you start discovering, what can I do as a farmer with a college lecturer that can help me to be more productive through rainwater harvesting.
Let's remove the big pebbles. What next?
Water.
Water.
Water. Rwanda, how can you sit inside there and be comfortable with the pigs?
So, to also show how the research has filtered into practice. So in the phase two that we are implementing now, the main trainers are actually some of the lecturers and people from the LED municipality who are actually facilitating the different sessions. Of course, us from Rhodes University, we put it all together, we coordinate it so that we don't leave them to do it on their own. Not that they can't. The idea is that when we leave, they can actually take up these courses and run with them. So the productive rainwater harvesting demonstration sites that have been established by farmers and these lecturers, they are also sites of research. So there is research to get a master's degree and a PhD degree, but there is also research that is just informing the farmers and also the learning network. So there are different levels of research that are happening there.
This video will be available on Amanda for Food, right?
Yes, on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, we need to download them for classes. I don't want to be talking.
And what's been very interesting is that the academic staff at the Fort Cox College, they now also have remit for research. So they've started to work with TITCH now on research out of their own college with the communities. One of the lecturers from the University of Fort Hare that's been supporting this project, he now wants to take up this change-oriented methodology for his PhD, and he's going to be working with smallholder farmers and agriculture. So it's actually a research system rather than an individual research project, which I think is really critically important to understand and also to try to support the development of that.
Which manure is this?
Chicken.
It is fine. It is allowed to mix organic manure. Yeah.
My master's is about trying to learn how youths learn, or how youths can learn to be champions of development in rural areas. How I'm going about it, or have tried to go about it, is through Change Lab workshops as well with youths. And it links to the project in that my focus area is agriculture, because it's often the key economic activity in a rural space. The Amanzi for Food project is co-engaged. One of the issues that exist with working in a rural space is this idea that people bring solutions, not fully understanding the problems and issues in the space. And how the project has worked, thanks to Change Lab workshop theory, is this co-engaged social way of doing things. Like, that's the key.
The thing that we discourage here is compaction. You don't, after every layer, you don't compact. No? Yeah, we don't need compaction. Why don't we compact? Yeah, you're right.
Community development needs to partner with research. Otherwise, when we're out there doing community development, what questions and issues and concerns are we answering or responding to? How do we know that those questions are the key questions in the space?
The research approach here is about transformative learning. And I think the mistake that most learning theory has made in the last however many hundred years is that learning is an individualized practice. Of course it is, to some extent, because we all have a mind, and we all make choices and use language to express things. But that is actually a social practice. And the transformation that we're talking about in terms of sustainability and environment and social justice, it's transformations of activity. So it's transformations of things that people do together. So the learning theory that we work with is called cultural historical activity theory. So it's centered on activity that people are busy with and activity that people want to transform or change because of stress in the activity. So farming practice in the rural Eastern Cape thing, in the Raymond Mkhaba, people were given back land, but they were not given access to water. Now they're trying to farm, but they can't because they don't have water. So there was a stress in that activity, and the stress in the activity surfaced the need for learning together. And that's actually the foundation of the work. So that's why people often confuse it with community development or research. What is it? Of course it's research. It's researching how to transform human activity through social learning. And it is our field that drives that, because we are dealing with an environmental crisis and a social justice crisis and an educational crisis. So you can describe the crisis in your research with critical methodology or with whatever analytical methodology. But what then? You know, do you then just leave that? Or is there something else that one can do with research? You know, and therefore you need another kind of research, and that's, I guess, what we're trying to work on. And that kind of research has to be in the world. It can't just be in the academy.
A trench bed of this big, of this size.
How much yield are we expecting?
It's not easier with cabbages, not very premium.
I've realized that there is no way that you can really separate proper rigorous research with community development, because it's very critical that you understand the processes that are taking place, that you are either initiating or that you are initiating together with others. And I realize that the moment you step into other people's space, like the communities that we have been working with, you immediately create an expectation. So one of the things that I found myself having to do was to manage my own expectations, my own preconceived ideas about how people are learning on the ground. So one of the things that I had to do in terms of reflecting on my own practice was to try to suppress that agency in me that came from development work. You come in with solutions, you put them out there, you try to motivate people to do them. So I had to say to myself, can I bury this for a while and try to work in a different way?
Where are the ladies? Ladies.
Only ladies. Our
comrades,
where are they?
Ladies are here. Otherwise, if you don't involve ladies in anything, it will never move.
And I think issues around trust building, issues around being very clear about what is your role here. I remember when we started working with the women, the elderly women at Lloyd Village, they did not understand what we were talking about. You are coming from out there, you are talking about water, but you are telling us that you don't have money to help us to restore our engine. I mean, can you explain yourselves? So we had to make it very clear. I mean, we're coming from a university. It's one of the smallest universities in the country. Universities don't really generate income. They don't give out money out there. But one of the things that we're coming to do is to facilitate and mediate the sharing of knowledge. And because we put it out there on the table, I think that was the beginning of building the trust and also respecting what we were doing. And because we're creating together with them a forum that was bringing people who can potentially develop each other, they also realized that the space that we were co-creating with them was a very useful space for them. So I'm very happy to be working in this particular project, and I think a lot of people in this university need to also look at the kind of methodologies that we've been using. I'm not just saying they are the only ones, I'm just saying I cannot keep this goodness to ourselves. We need to share it.
Leaves as well.
You can do a chain.
Yeah. Yeah.
A chain.
There's someone there.
Do it.
Working smart, not hard.
Yeah.
Not very thick.
Not smart.
I think for me as a researcher, student, young person finding their place in the world, and as an aspiring community development agent, I really find value in this type of work. That's the lens I came into the center with. I enjoy education, I enjoy learning and stuff, but the way I've been learning hasn't really felt like a proper response to those aspirations. And that was my frustration before coming here. And I think that's why that this type of work is important, because we're people, we're connected, encountering challenges and responding to them in a way that allows me to feel like that I'm doing what I'm here to do. We're actually doing life.
To hear other podcasts in this series, search for Engagement in Action on iTunes or go to ru.ac.za/community engagement.